Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Nate Taylor is walking in the studio right now. We're going to let him get settled, and we're going to talk to him about what the Chiefs plan on doing at wide receiver. The bodies are slim. Mecole Hardman did not practice today. For those of you keeping count at home, the Chiefs currently have four healthy wide receivers on the roster. It seems like at some point they're going to have to fix that problem. They're going to have to add a couple of different pieces. Who could they potentially add? Nate Taylor will answer that question for us here coming up in a bit. We will be joined by Josh Verner in the 5 o'clock hour, so we will get back to baseball coming up in a bit, but happy to talk some Chiefs with our guy, Nate Taylor. I would like to play this for you here. My guy Carson Steele, it certainly feels like he lost his job. He was asked about how he can work on his fumbling issues. I don't know if they're going to give you the opportunity to work on it, my boy.
Honestly, a lot of them just trying to, you know, help me process everything. You know, they were all rookies once, so they already know how I'm feeling, kind of all over the place. But, you know, the calmer you feel with, you know, this game, the better you're going to, you know, have in the outcome. So I just got to calm down and, you know, execute my assignments.
Nate Taylor. Now, the Andy Reid that I used to know, he would give young guys an opportunity. Kareem Hunt fumbled his first snap. They gave it back to him the next drive. They used to give young guys an opportunity. Man, you mess up at left tackle in the middle of this three-peat? Now you got to go to the bench, bro. Kingsley Suamataia was a starting left tackle for every day for 5 months. He had one bad game. He's the backup now. Carson Steele ran for 75 yards, had 90 yards from scrimmage on Sunday Night Football. He touches the ball 2 times on his first drive. He fumbles one of them. We've never seen Carson Steele again. This is a different Andy Reid than the one that I'm used to.
You are so right. Especially because, as I want to remind the audience, Kareem Hunt was not on a football team less than 3 weeks ago. I mean, everything with this team has happened at warp speed, whether it's the changes in the lineup, the injuries, obviously, and on Monday Night Football, which I never thought was going to happen, Carrington, Kareem Hunt is going to start for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, he's our number one running back. We were just asking this question right before you got here. You know we love a good circle of trust from me and parents. What offensive players do you have in the circle of trust right now? Because there's just not a lot of capable bodies right now.
Yeah.
It's Travis Kelce and friends, it feels like, right now. Who else do you have inside this circle of trust? I think you have to put Kareem Hunt. I was impressed by the way he played against the Chargers. I think he's their number one running back. I don't know what anybody else's role is right now in this offense. What's Xavier Worthy's usage going to be in this game? Juju Smith-Schuster seems like a guy that should get 4, 5, 6 opportunities. Justin Watson, I'd like to see more Noah Gray. We all know the names, but it's about 6 guys, and I'm not really sure who from that group is going to step up in the midst of all of these injuries.
Yeah, I think this week of practice is very telling moving forward for all the reasons you say, and not only on top of Andy Reid and the coaching staff really pushing this chance to go for a three-peat, obviously, they're making changes to not relinquish the one seed. I mean, sometimes we have to remind ourselves that the Chiefs are 4-0 despite a litany of issues. And in terms of the circle of trust, it got to start with Travis Kelce being the number one receiver, which was never the plan for this entire season. When the offseason began, throughout the offseason, training camp, hey, we get to use Travis Kelce whenever we want because it's not an absolute burden. Sorry, dog, 4 games into the season, I'm going to need you to run all the routes, okay? I need you to be on the field all the time for the defense to respect it so that somebody, like you mentioned, Justin Watson can get open. Noah Gray can get open. Obviously, Kareem Hunt is in that circle. And then I think the last guy is Xavier Worthy. And I know this is not going to make people happy, but I don't think you should expect 100 yards and 2 touchdowns from Xavier Worthy on Monday night. I think that is more down the line. But this also kind of conflicts with what Andy Reid has done in the past, which is, hey, we really like to expand a rookie's role after the bye week. And in the past, that's usually been in late October, sometime in Thanksgiving, in November. Well, this is in week 6, and because of the circumstances, I think they're really going to expand his role against the San Francisco 49ers coming off the bye week. So he could still be the deep threat guy. He could still maybe give him the ball in an occasional, you know, I want to say creative play, but obviously you could just throw him the ball at the line of scrimmage and just see if he makes a guy miss. But I do think this game is really about Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, it's not 2018, and Justin Watson and Noah Gray. That's who I trust the most from the evidence we have so far this season.
I don't want to speak this into existence, but leading into this game, it gives me a similar feeling. You remember that Sunday night game they played the Colts? It was in 2019. They lost 19-13, and that Chiefs team was super banged up.
Yep.
That Chiefs team that day ran the ball 14 times for 36 yards.
Oof.
Their number one wide receiver was Byron Pringle. These were their wide receivers for that game.
Oh, my
These are the
God.
Wide receivers they got catches because Tyreek didn't play.
Right.
It was Byron Pringle, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson. Those were the three wide receivers that had catches that day. Again, I'm not trying to speak this into existence, but doesn't that kind of sound like where the Chiefs are right now with all of the injuries that they have? Now, I think they have a better running game situation than they had that day.
Right.
But, man, you know how hard it is to win in this league. It's even harder to win in this league when you just don't have a lot of healthy bodies. It's already such a razor-thin margin of error, and now you're going to ask Patrick Mahomes to do it with just such a limited cast of characters.
Yeah, it's a great point because there's not a lot of difference between that group in 2019 and the group that will be on the field Monday night. I'm sorry. I know Juju Smith-Schuster is a professional wide receiver, and there's a lot of respect that he deserves because clearly his body is not the same as it was in 2018, 2019, and so forth. He can only do so much, and it's really going to be, I believe, incumbent upon Patrick to play out of his mind. And I'm not saying for the whole game, right? You just need moments to where you don't score just 9 points or you get beat in a low scoring game. So I think Patrick's legs have to come into the mix a little bit more this week. If he doesn't like what he sees, you know, scramble, try to create something off of extending the down. But it's crazy that, like, I know the Saints are decent, worthy opponent. If it goes well with Kareem Hunt, why not give him the ball 25 times? Because he's going to have a bye week afterwards. And he still has fresh legs compared to a lot of players because he's only played one game so far in the four-game season. It's crazy, but, like, can you get a play or two from Xavier Worthy? Can Travis Kelce be, like, old reliable on third down? And can we just hand the ball to Kareem Hunt and hope it goes well so that Patrick doesn't feel the entire burden on his shoulders Monday night and the defense doesn't feel the same way? I think that's the trickle-down effect. It's like if the offense, because it's so limited, it can be psychologically, you know, I don't want to say it could be psychologically, like, damaging, but it could play a role in the defense feeling like we have to overcompensate for the offense.
Obviously, he's not Tyreek Hill. I kind of want the Chiefs to use Xavier Worthy how the Dolphins used Tyreek Hill on Monday night. It was obvious that they had a quarterback issue. And we're not going to be able to get Tyreek the ball in his usual normal spots.
Yes.
We got to make him part of the run game. He has to get some end arounds. He's got to get some screens. He's got to do some things that are easy that make the game a lot more simple for Tyler Huntley. Obviously, you have very different limitations with your quarterback than what Miami does. That's how I'd like to see them use Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
You should try one or two deep balls in this game, a couple of end arounds, a couple of screens. You use the term creative. I call it force feed. You gotta try to force feed Xavier Worthy in this game and hope that in one of the two times that he catches the ball, you can hope that he makes a play that potentially breaks open the game.
Yeah, it's a great point, because what got the Chiefs back into the game on Sunday was, of course, the deep touchdown pass to Xavier Worthy and then just giving the ball to Kareem Hunt. I don't know if you guys have talked about it this week, obviously beyond just what we saw of what he was able to do. I'm going to check the stat one more time, because it kind of jumped out to me when I wrote about Kareem, I think on Monday or Tuesday. You know, in the second half, Andy Reid made a decision. They gave the ball to Kareem Hunt more than anybody else in the offense. Travis Kelce only had three targets in the second half. Noah Gray had the one impressive catch. Xavier Worthy had a couple opportunities. Of course, he iced the game. Justin Watson had one catch. Kareem Hunt had 11 touches. Patrick Mahomes threw the ball 12 times in the second half. So find whoever that matchup is, and to your point, force feed it, whether it's Xavier Worthy, whether it's Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, because again, all these guys are going to get the rest from the bye week. But whoever that matchup is, yeah, this is a perfect game to say, we just got to do what it takes to get the win tonight, and then we can focus on the rest of the season after having a break, you know, relatively early than usual. And in some ways, that might be, you know, more fortuitous to you than you may have thought when the schedule came out in May.
Coming up on the other side, I want to talk to you about some of the possibilities for the Chiefs at wide receiver. I know we have time to have this conversation, but I'm looking at Amari Cooper as someone I'd be very interested in. Deontay Johnson is a name that we've thrown out there. And if you think there's a possibility that the Raiders would trade Devontae Adams to the Kansas City Chiefs, we got Nate Taylor in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nate Taylor is here. All right, Nate Taylor, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about. Let's just go ahead and address the elephant in the room. Devontae Adams is going to be traded at some point between now and the trade deadline on November 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thinks that he is going to the Jets, which makes all the sense in the world. I think the Jets and the Saints have to be considered the favorite. One has Aaron Rodgers. The other one has Derek Carr. But there is also a wide receiver needy team in the Raiders division.
Yes.
Could you see a scenario in which the Raiders would trade Devontae Adams to the Chiefs?
It's hard to see it right now. And you would need the Jets to not necessarily give you, or give the Raiders, I should say, the composition they seek. Now, I would encourage the Jets to win a couple games, between now and the trade deadline to ensure Davante Adams' services, help Aaron Rodgers play better, at least right now, especially Sunday against an undefeated team in the Vikings in London. So who knows? If the Jets fall off, and let's say the Chiefs beat the Saints, and then the Saints have issues moving forward, then from a record standpoint, it might not be advantageous for you to make that trade, obviously. So you would need something like that to sort of happen. And then also, if no other team comes up, are you comfortable giving Davante Adams away for a third-round pick? Because I don't think the Chiefs would go higher with the first or second-round pick. So a number of things would have to happen over the next, like, 3 weeks, right? He would have to be more of a malcontent than he already is, which is hard to do, but he can do it because he has some leverage in all this. The Jets would not need to be a successful football team. They need to lose some games in order for the Chiefs to become a bigger player right now based on how the market's going. You know, and what's cool about this, too, is because this is happening now, you have a much longer runway to the trade deadline than you normally would have. So whatever Davante Adams goes for, even if he doesn't go to the Chiefs, helps inform the Chiefs, okay, if Davante Adams went for this, now we can sort of play off of that in terms of finding a player who we think can help us this year and obviously perhaps in 2025 as well. I don't think Davante Adams is going to the Chiefs, but there's a scenario where it could happen, but you need like a number of dominoes to kind of fall your way.
This is what I think is going to happen. I think that there's a chance that the Vikings put it on the Jets in London. I think there's a chance. Ooh. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to do what most top employees do. He's going to go to his boss.
Yep.
And he's going to tell his boss exactly what he needs.
So we need the Jets to lose, but not too bad.
I need you to go get Davante Adams. Get Davante Adams. And the Jets have just shown that they will do what Aaron Rodgers wants.
It's obvious
what Aaron Rodgers wants. He wants Davante Adams. So it just seems to me like that's the team that eventually he ends up going to. Let's get to some of the other possible names. The one that makes the most sense to me is Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
You look at his contract. You look at the flexibility that you have. You look at how much money is left on the deal, what you think the acquisition cost would be for Amari Cooper.
Uh-huh.
Of all the names that people throw out there as a possible trade candidate, Amari Cooper, to me, is the one that makes the most sense for the Chiefs.
Yes, mostly for money aspect. In terms of realizing that Amari Cooper could kind of reset himself, you know, based on his contract and the idea of him being, you know, 30, but not 32, going into his 33rd season, like someone like DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know if he necessarily fits everything the Chiefs want their wide receivers to do, but you're not in an ideal situation. You're trying to ensure that the Browns keep being hot garbage and that Amari Cooper wants to play for a contending team. The same can be said for Deontay Johnson, someone who I have started to come around to the idea that, like, if you can't get Amari Cooper, maybe he is a nice, you know, plan B.
That's the name I was going to ask you next.
Yeah, constellation sort of prize type of deal. And I'll tell you another one that was sneaky for me when I wrote about this in The Athletic, because, you know, I bounced around a couple of our beat writers and just said, hey, who's available on your team right now at a receiver position where you feel like, hey, you could at least get a third round pick, right? Because again, I don't think the Chiefs are given a first round pick because Clark Hunt usually never does that unless it's for someone like Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, the only player right now that could possibly be worthy of trading a first round pick for would be Tyreek Hill. Of all the possible names. Now, Tyreek.
That's a contract, though. That's just heavy.
He's also never really been in a situation where his team wasn't good.
True.
Basically, his entire time in the league,
right.
He's either been on the Chiefs or the Dolphins made the postseason last year.
Right.
What does Tyreek Hill look like on a team that wins six games?
Ooh, not great. I don't want to see that for him. Now, I don't know.
That might be where the Dolphins are headed.
I don't know if his contract allows him to have the ability to go somewhere where it's obviously better just because you would be then asking the Dolphins to eat that money. Now, that may increase the level of compensation to a first-round pick because we're obviously taking on something now to get, you know, the best option available for us from a draft pick situation for later. I think realistically, if Davante Adams goes to the Jets and let's say the Dolphins are like – we're still trying to wait to see what's happening with Tua Tagovailoa's career. Let's reset. This year was, you know, unfortunate, but we can reset and get ready for 2025. Tyreek Hill will still be very good. And they just adjusted his contract. So you don't have the incentive to necessarily want to rip that up right now. And again, what team would take that on, given how heavy his contract is based on the restructure? So if those two options are off the board, I think you might go, depending on your preference, Amari Cooper or Deontay Johnson. And after that, it gets real not – there ain't no sizzle. It's just like, hey, he's a human being who catches footballs for a living and can be better than maybe Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, I think that's the threshold you're trying to get over because they signed Juju Smith-Schuster before the season began.
Yeah, they're not even really using him. You know what this seems like, and I don't – maybe this is me being Debbie Downer, but we've – have these conversations enough. It feels like we throw all of these names out for the Chiefs just to trade for DeMarcus Robinson.
I thought you were going to say that.
Am I lying?
I
can see the DeMarcus Robinson trade coming a mile away. He was on the team. Yes. He knows the system.
Yeah, I was just about to
say. He's going
to
fit the locker room. We can see that fifth round pick being traded for DeMarcus Robinson, and that's the move that they make on wide receiver. Like I've seen this trip before with the Chiefs.
I know. I asked Andy on Monday, right? They just beat the Chargers. At this point, we have no idea what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. The presumption at the time was, oh, boy, torn ACL, like – out for the season. I just said, hey, what's it like trading for a receiver in the middle of the year? You know what the first thing that came out of this man's mind? Who the receiver? And does he know the system? Said Andy.
Well, you know what? I know.
People not going to like that comment.
Yeah, I know that DeMarcus Robinson knows the system forward and backwards.
Yes.
That's one thing that we know, at least when it comes to him. Isn't it kind of ironic that the Chiefs' maybe biggest competition for a wide receiver is going to be the Bills?
Yes.
Because the Bills also, you know who the Bills could really use? Amari Cooper.
The Bills could really use anybody.
They really need a number one on the outside.
Yes, because they got Shakir. Obviously, they got
a bunch of twos and threes.
They got a couple tight ends. I like Dalton Kincaid. I see how he's progressing. But
I kind of feel like Dawson Knox might be cooked a little bit.
He's cooked.
Yeah.
But hey, he can. This is probably his last serviceable year to where you can run two tight end sets and like, okay, Dawson Knox has had some work in the league. I thought there was going to be more from Curtis Samuel. That is a contract that looks terrible on arrival. It's bad. Obviously, everybody knows MVS, he also appears to be cooked. So, if I believe Josh Allen's going to win the MVP award, he needs somebody to throw the ball to. So, again, if Amari Cooper doesn't come to Kansas City, does he go to Buffalo? There's a number of factors in all of this. And, you know, the Bills did help the Chiefs, no matter how you dice it up. They helped them get Xavier Worthy. So I think Brandon Bean, understanding his roster, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, I think he understands that he should be probably a little bit more aggressive than the Chiefs are right now because of all the things we've mentioned. And they don't have a Travis Kelce on their roster. The Chiefs still have Travis Kelce at their disposal. Man, Josh Allen is making these guys look so good. It's crazy. Look at these stats, Carrington. Shakir is out. He leads the team in receiving.
Yeah, this has to be a Curtis Samuel game for them.
Curtis Samuel has 8 receptions for 48 yards. What? They gave him a legit contract. So, yeah, Curtis Samuel, like, please, you know, Keon Coleman is being asked to be a number one receiver when we all know he ain't a number one receiver right now. But you know what? He is getting the passes thrown from Josh Allen, who's obviously can maybe raise your production. Another name that I want Chiefs fans to think about, and I know this isn't sexy, Carrington. I know you're going to be like, I don't want him. The Giants are awful. And Darius Slayton was a name that came up.
Yeah, I saw that was Jeremy Fowler and Dan Graziano. They both threw that name out there.
He's on the block.
Darius Slayton just sounds like East Coast DeMarcus Robinson.
See, there we go.
Not, and I don't have any. To me,
right.
To me, if you're gonna make that move, I don't know why that move then still stops you from going to get Amari Cooper when Amari Cooper got traded in 2022 for a fifth-round pick. It's not like we think Amari Cooper's going 4-1.
Right.
What's stopping you from going to get both of those pieces? If you're telling me that it's a Darius Slayton and something else, great. But you're not going to tell me right now with how banged up their room is. We don't know if Rashee Rice is coming back. We don't know if Hollywood Brown is coming back. And your answer to that was Darius Slayton?
That's what I'm saying. That's where we are. I just know that the guys who are available right now are Darius Slayton, Davante Adams, of course, and George Pickens. Those are the guys that are already on the trade block. If you call us, we will call you back. We will have a full-on discussion. Now, George Pickens is really talented, but he got a lot of that other thing from Kadarius Toney in him, you know? And he is not Davante Adams. So all of a sudden, there's a lot of options, but then at the same time, there's not a lot of ones that you want to, like, jump at. That's why if I were the Chiefs and you know the Browns stink and you know the Panthers stink, I would blow up their phones constantly. I know someone on the text line here put out Christian Watson, and that is interesting because I fell in love with Christian Watson during the draft.
That also makes sense. They love a failed first, second-round pick. They love him. That's what they love.
I didn't think about that.
Watson's Green Bay's fourth receiver. We got to go get
gotta
him.
He's really fast, though. Problem is his hamstrings, though. He's really fast, and he hasn't played. He has an injury history. I don't want to call him injury prone, but yeah, that's an interesting name, Christian Watson. I hadn't thrown that out there. The Chiefs and Green Bay don't usually do business, but it would make sense. I'm looking at this right now. I mean, Christian Watson is, I mean, he's there.
He's there. That is a great way of describing Christian Watson. He is there.
Yeah, 80 yards, one touchdown.
He's Green Bay's fourth receiver. Yeah. No, I'm not interested in Green Bay's fourth receiver. We got Nate Taylor joining us in studio. What's going on with Rashee Rice? Like, it's maybe there are other examples of this and I've just missed it. Usually on Sunday when a guy we think he tore his ACL, by Monday night, it is confirmed.
Yeah.
Originally, it was confirmed by everybody in the league. You remember, Andy said it's not good.
Yep.
And then every NFL reporter was like, torn ACL. Chiefs fear it's a torn ACL.
Yeah.
They're clearly getting that information from the team. And then it feels like over the last couple of days, they're like, well, we don't really know if it's torn, which the fact that it's Friday and I don't have a definitive answer one way or the other. Is it torn? Is it not torn? What are your sources telling you? What are you hearing about his knee?
So Monday now becomes the most important day of Rashee Rice's season. As I reported, he's going to be in Dallas. He's going to see a specialist again. He done seen about three or four, like, legit.
Probably every day he's seen a specialist.
Yeah. Now, it was fascinating that we did see him walk around in the locker room. Which you don't normally see when a guy has torn his ACL and you know he's out for the season. He's usually not around the locker room. And I know people will say, well, I've torn my ACL and I was able to walk for a little bit before the pain starts to increase. And obviously the tendons, they're going to deteriorate more with the cartilage. We don't know. And the fact that they are...
Is it not weird a little bit?
Oh, it's weird. This is what I'm getting to. The fact that it is stretched out essentially for 8 days from the injury when he goes to see the specialist on Monday tells you how dire and desperate they are to be like, please come back. Can you please come back in December? Because they don't know yet about Hollywood Brown. You know, Hollywood Brown, as I reported, best case scenario, mid-December. If not, then you're going to be asking a lot for him to come back for, like, the postseason. Monday is so important because what they will be asking this specialist, in essence, is can he play? He can walk right now. The swelling's going to go down. We've already put him on IR for 4 weeks. How soon after those 4 weeks can he come back? Or those four games, I should say, really, because the bye week's involved. How soon can he come back after these four games? And can you, like, you know, now I saw Albert Breer's report that they're going to go in for a scope. Which can happen. That usually happens to older players, particularly in the NBA, where they go through and scope out some things so that you can jump. Usually for someone in their late 20s, early 30s to get their knee scoped so that they can play basketball. That's usually like a 6 to 8 week at best, and usually it's around 3 months. I don't know how that necessarily translates from an NFL standpoint, but if Albert's correct and they're going to go in and they're going to scope it, this is beyond the MRI. This is beyond like the normal testing you would do of the tendons, of the cartilage, of trying to figure it all out. If you go in, you're taking something out or you're fixing something, which means 8 weeks automatically. So on Monday, we will find out if it's 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 3 months, who knows? I mean, yeah, but they are doing every due diligence to give Rasheed Rice a chance to maybe come back. And there's optimism that he could come back. But I guess we'll wait until Monday.
We got to wait until Monday to find out. I have never asked you this question before, and I am thrilled to get the chance to ask you this question.
Uh-oh.
What were you doing when you found out about his mom, Rasheed Rice's mom? Like, what were you doing? Like, what were you doing?
Okay. Like, Wednesday? Did this come out Wednesday night? Is that right, Rob? When did this come out?
Because, like, at some point, you get a text.
I was on the couch.
You get a text or a notification, and then you see Rasheed Rice, TMZ.
And you're thinking, oh, boy. No.
Oh, boy. Then you see his mom walking around being a porch pirate.
I've seen this lady. I didn't know this was about. I did not know this was your game. Like, what? What are you doing?
When I first saw it, I just was thinking, this is SEO gold here. Like, you got to hit so many things.
Yes,
Rasheed Rice, Chiefs, Chappelle Rose. Like, you got to hit so many things. I was fully expecting in that TMZ headline for it to say Travis Kelce's teammate. Like, I was expecting them to just hit every single.
They should have. They really should have. They should have. Because I got to look at the original post, because I think it was Wednesday and I was on the couch and I just said, come on.
It's the longest headline I've ever seen before. They were making sure that you could search that thing. It was real nasty work. I couldn't believe it.
It was nasty work, but I respect it at the same time, because what are you doing? Like, your son already got a reputation, right?
You can't even say that wasn't me. You got your son's jersey on.
Bro, take that off. Take that off. What are you doing? Mom, can you imagine the text, the phone call? Mom, I'm trying. Hey, man, call my mom back. I can't right now. Like, the idea that, I mean, also, can I read you this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because this is yesterday, right? Mom accused of theft months before alleged package heist. Perfect.
That's
perfect.
A good one.
Perfect.
Oh, that is a perfect. Good one.
Guys, I love you moms. Usually the moms are great. They'll even talk to you after certain games, depending on where the family room is compared to the locker room and the back and forth. And, you know, I don't need to see mugshots. I don't need to see you in a jersey doing heinous crimes. Like, what are you doing?
All right, coming up on the other side, I have so many questions today that I've never asked you before. I want you to really think about this, and maybe you have the answer.
All right.
What does Matt Nagy do?
Oh, come on.
I just want you to really think about it. I want you to help me figure out what Matt Nagy does, because this is the worst version of Patrick Mahomes we have seen. And we usually hold the offensive coordinator accountable when your quarterback is not playing up to his standard. I have seen Patrick Mahomes for the last 3 weeks say his mechanics is off, and he has a former NFL quarterback as his offensive coordinator. I just want you to help me figure out what Matt Nagy does. We'll maybe try to figure this out together. We'll crack the case. Nate Taylor is here.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, Nate Taylor. We're going to get to baseball coming up in a bit. Can you help me understand what Matt Nagy's role is on this offense? And I ask that because he has been the offensive coordinator for 20 regular season starts of Patrick Mahomes' career. Mm-hmm. That is, Patrick Mahomes has made 100 starts. So a fifth of Patrick Mahomes' career, Matt Nagy has been the offensive coordinator. He has thrown 19 interceptions. This is the worst version of Patrick Mahomes that there has been. Now, the pushback always is, well, he doesn't call the plays. Well, there's other things that you can do as the offensive coordinator other than calling plays. Sure, Rob doesn't do all the talking on the show. He has other responsibilities and other things that he can do to help the show be the best that it can be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What is Matt Nagy's role and responsibility? I ask that because Patrick Mahomes has been telling us for a month his mechanics are off.
Yes.
That's the offensive coordinator's job to help fix it as a former NFL quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Patrick Mahomes is struggling to read defenses right now. Isn't it the offensive coordinator's job to help him improve in reading defenses and identifying coverages? I just want to know what his responsibility is from Monday until Sunday at 3:00.
So I looked something up that I wrote early last season. This is from September 15th, 2023. This is a conversation that I had with multiple people in the organization about Matt Nagy specifically going from 2022 with Bieniemy to 2023 with Matt Nagy. When Mahomes was a first-time starter in 2018, he quickly became a star by throwing long completion after long completion against defenses that often operated with just one deep safety. Mahomes also had the perfect deep threat receiver, Tyreek Hill. That combination resulted in Mahomes producing the second most deep passing touchdowns, 47 at the time, in the league over his first four seasons as a starter. Matt Nagy was supposed to incorporate the deep passing game back into the Chiefs offense with Eric Bieniemy going to Washington. This is Matt Nagy's quote, again, from last September. Quote, in 2018, you're going to have all these touchdowns and all these deep throws. You have different personnel right now, and defenses are going to play you differently. The take what they give you approach is kind of where we're at right now, if that's what they want to do. Does that sound conflicting, Carrington? Because that's what I wrote a year ago, that Patrick Mahomes at his best is throwing the ball deep, even with or without Tyreek Hill. Matt Nagy was supposed to help the passing game. But also take what they give you. All this is to say
it's kind of hard to do both.
Exactly. And what has happened is more than often Matt Nagy has led an offense that is more comfortable with taking what the defense gives you or letting them drop back and we dump it off to Rashee Rice or we do a jet sweep or we do a play at or behind the line of scrimmage for the reception to get the ball in our playmakers' hands as soon as possible. That was not the intended purpose for when Nagy fully became the offensive coordinator. Now, in 2022, I will always give him, Eric Bieniemy, and Andy Reid credit because they were the best trio of offensive coaches any NFL team had that season. You could clearly tell it because they went up and down the field on the Philadelphia Eagles in a way that no one else had doing without throwing the ball deep. And so it was a masterclass of three NFL minds coming together to help their quarterback play at an MVP level. With Eric Bieniemy being gone, and we all know what he brought to the table, and a level of intensity, a level of detail, a level of fundamentally being sound with things that I don't know if Matt Nagy has put an emphasis on. Nagy is more, man, I'm summing this up as best I can. Matt Nagy appears to be more big brain than doing all the little things to get the big results, where I think that is Eric Bieniemy's thought process. We cannot get you protected if you don't know the protection calls. We cannot get you to throw the ball deep if you don't know where the blitz is coming. We cannot get you to do the things you want to do if you don't know how to escape the pocket. We cannot get you to throw the ball with zip if your feet ain't right, you know? And I thought it was very interesting, and I showed it to you over the commercial break, that after Xavier Worthy's deep touchdown pass, that's a play call that Matt Nagy and Andy Reid agree with. They give it to Mahomes. Mahomes executes it perfectly. Great catch from a rookie in Xavier Worthy. And essentially in that game, Matt Nagy told Patrick Mahomes that it was okay to bleep it. It's a bleep it throw. It's a stop thinking, just let it rip. So I think to some degree, even Nagy is struggling to find what's the best thing to tell Pat for this particular game against this particular opponent, where you could say he could be criticized for not being consistent, whereas that has led to some inconsistencies of the play of the quarterback, the decision-making of the quarterback. But again, it's not Matt Nagy's fault that they drew up a perfect play for the second drive and Mahomes just threw it right to the defense. That's not his fault. But Nagy is big brain, whereas I think Andy Reid is obviously the play calling genius, the protections, the matchups, the special plays, obviously in the red zone. And I think Arbiennemi was more traditional coach, which is if you can't do the right things, I can't let you get to the fun stuff.
I'm picking the Chiefs to win this game on Monday night, largely because of the defense. And I think very similar to Atlanta, I think their offense goes the way that Bijan Robinson goes. I think the New Orleans kind of goes how Alvin Kamara goes.
Yep.
He's been one of the better running backs in the National Football League. I don't think you can expect great production from a running back right now against this team. They're holding starting running backs to 2.6 yards per carry.
It's crazy.
I think you got to fade any running back that's going against the Chiefs right now. And if you're telling me that Derek Carr has got to throw it 30, 35 times on the road at Arrowhead, that's against this defense, that's just not a game that I think they can win. I like Kansas City to win for that reason. Where are you at for Monday Night Football?
I expect the Chiefs to win. It could be close. But to your point, Carrington, the Chiefs have only had a 2-score lead one time this year. That was against the Baltimore Ravens on opening night. They were up 20-10. That's the last time it's happened. So just imagine how well the defense is already playing in kind of crummy situations. Oh, we threw another pick. Carson still fumbled the ball again. Oh, no, they can't, you know, run the clock out in the fourth quarter against the Atlanta Falcons. Think of how good the defense can play if it just gets more minutes of having a 2-score lead where we know you got to throw it. And oh, by the way, like, we know you got to double team Chris Jones and he still might beat you, but at least we know that. So now we can have all these crazy blitzes for a quarterback who knows he's going to be under pressure, especially in a loud environment like Arrowhead. So the Chiefs defense is playing really well. They could play even better if the offense just got like a little bit of a level of reliability in terms of not having turnovers, or, hey, we have a 7-point lead. We have given you the ball. Go get a field goal. Go get a touchdown. Help us get, you know, an even greater advantage on the scoreboard so that our pass rushers can really pin their ears back. So if they contain Alvin Kamara, they will win this game. No running back this season, which is shocking, has had 70 rushing yards on the Kansas City Chiefs. That includes Bijan Robinson and obviously Derrick Henry. So if they keep that up, and let's say Mahomes doesn't have a crazy interception, then they should win by double digits because they have the best unit of either team, and that's the defense.
That was our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us in studio to talk a little football here. Nate, man, we appreciate you, man. Go Royals. I've never seen you wear Royals stuff, man. Look at you. Even you caught the wave.
Of course I did.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we will play our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. We'll also get back to the Royals as they have their divisional round series start tomorrow against the New York Yankees. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.